Well, first this morning, an inquiry into the response to last year's catastrophic North Island storms that killed 15 people has found the country's emergency management system is not fit for purpose. Chaired by former Governor-General Sir Gerry Matapirai, it found the country is not ready to respond to large-scale emergencies. The review includes responses to the Auckland Anniversary Day floods, as well as cyclones, hail and Gabrielle. In some places, the system failed completely and people weren't able to prepare or respond to the disaster around them. Public warnings and communication were non-existent or insufficient. And the capability and capacity of civil defence staff and infrastructure was overestimated or lacking. Communities told the inquiry they felt completely let down by civil defence. RNZ journalist Lauren Crimp has been reading through the reports. Morena, Lauren.
Morena.
First of all, we wanted to speak to the chair and or authors of this report, which is what you do when people file a report. The response from the Department of Internal Affairs was that their roles ended with the filing of the report and they would not be speaking to it. Is this unusual?
Look, it is unusual and it's a real shame. Internal Affairs says that the report speaks for itself, but look, as the report author and the chair, Sir Gerry Matapirai is the best person to speak to it, and as media, it's our role to question them and to get clarity for the public. So just last month, for example, Mike Bush, who headed up the review into the Hawke's Bay Civil Defence response, fronted the media to talk to that, and we would have really liked that opportunity today.
All right. There have been multiple reports, actually. You mentioned Mike Bush's one. Multiple reports already into the catastrophic weather events of 2023 and the response to them. This one seems very high level, focused at the overall civil defence emergency response system, right?
Indeed.
What are the key findings?
So, look, you mentioned it in the intro. They're pretty damning. Seen as a whole, the emergency management system did not enable people to prepare. It did not enable them to respond to the disaster that they found, you know, unfolding around them. There's one sentence in the report that, Catherine, I really think sums this up. It says, many communities and civil defence agencies were not adequately prepared. Communication and warnings were inadequate or insufficient, and the capability and capacity of people and infrastructure was overestimated or lacking. Look, this report finds, as a country, we are not ready to respond to large-scale events like those that we saw, the Auckland Anniversary floods, hail, Gabrielle. That's quite terrifying. What's more terrifying is, even if the recommendations are fully implemented, the inquiry finds they alone won't result in a fit-for-purpose emergency management system. So without adequate investment in reducing the risk, the impacts of disasters will continue to be devastating.
Let's work through some of the key findings here. Interestingly, it does speak to the strength of the local communities that responded, but not the system that's supposed to warn and support them, right?
That's correct. So, look, we heard so many stories throughout these devastating events of how communities banded together. They stepped up, they opened their doors, they rescued people, they set up emergency hubs, all of that kind of thing. And that's something that they did off their own bat. They saw a need, they responded to that. And that was really applauded in the report. But yes, they weren't properly warned. Those systems were not in place, or if they were in place, they failed. We're talking technology failures here. So that's one of the key recommendations, actually, which we'll get to later.
It is one of the key recommendations. I think we should just hit on it right now. Their point was, actually, those who got it done in many ways were iwi, hapū, various sort of voluntary organisations, small groups, community groups, individuals, right? We remember those hero young guys on the river in the Esk Valley, for example. But their point is, some of those organised groups should actually become part of a formal tier of the response network, correct?
That's correct. Look, they want this legislated so that there is this fourth tier, if you like, of response, and that is the community itself. And the reason that the inquiry says this should be legislated is so that those organisations, particularly iwi and hapū, have the support and the resource behind them to do that stuff. You know, again, as I say, all of that stuff was done off their own bat. Imagine what they could do if they had the proper resource and they had a seat at the table.
And the communication and the lack of the communication between different branches, even of the currently formal response system, is another key part of this.
Indeed. Look, that was found to be, in essence, completely lacking. Look, part of that was because there were major technology failures, communication failures, but the right hand wasn't talking to the left hand, essentially. There was so much duplication of effort or unnecessary effort that happened, and this was... It's cascading, I guess, down right from central government and from NEMA right through down to mayors and councils.
Well, let's look at some of those key underlying issues. A lack of focus and investment in readiness planning, activities, equipment and supplies. Limited emergency management experience, capacity and capability. Lack of shared situational awareness across councils, even though councils might be in the same district, right? A lack of shared awareness with the National Emergency Management Agency. There's also a disconnect between the communities and the local civil defence agencies, right?
Yeah, that was something that the inquiry pulled out and talked quite a bit about, really. It actually said it was, quote, a striking disconnect between the way that communities saw how the response should go and what civil defence did. So civil defence
is saying... How they felt about it. They thought they did what they needed to do, many of them, right? Many of them working, you know, around the clock in some instances. They thought they did the job.
Totally, and they thought... And look, the report does note, everyone here had the best of intentions, but it's the system that
that's letting them down.
Yeah. Yep. And civil defence... said to the inquiry, we believe communities are part of the response, but communities said, we didn't know that was up to us. We only did what we did because we saw a need. So, again, there's that need for that real formal, recognition of communities and also education. That's a really big part, is educating the community when this sort of stuff happens, what do you need to be prepared for and what you need to do.
Well, let's look at some of the councils, because they play a key role in this, particularly when things are sort of at the local stage, right, and even beyond that. And it says councils need to step up their planning and preparation, elevate the role of civil defence within their organisations, right? And also it talked about the lack of clarity around the role of mayors and councillors. Now, this was interesting. The Mayor of Wairoa, Craig Little, had quite a bit to say to the inquiry.
He did. He had some quite strong views on that, actually. And the particular thing he was talking about there was creating the state of emergency. Essentially, mayors and the chair of the regional council, they are the governance of civil defence. But as soon as a state of emergency is declared, that is change, and it becomes the role of the civil defence controller. It's the controller who has all the power there. And the mayors, as Craig Little said, I think, that they effectively felt or became redundant. So the issue there is, though, people know their mayors. Communities know their mayors. They see them as their leaders. And so what Craig Little was saying is, we need to find some balance there so we still have a say and we are still able to communicate with our communities.
They also sign off on things, and I know that was a finding of the Bush report. You shouldn't be having to climb over trees to reach the mayor to sign a bit of paper to declare an emergency. Okay, what about the National Emergency Level Office and its role in these large-scale emergencies?
Yeah, look, the inquiry found, in short, some changes are needed at NEMA. It's a small agency, and the inquiry found it does not have the funding or expertise to undertake everything that it needs to do. What it's talking about here is uplifting the entire system. So NEMA needs more support. Councils need more support. There needs to be heavier investment in the governance of all of this stuff, because at the moment it's simply insufficient. It also found that NEMA needs to focus solely on readiness and response. So that's setting standards, training, leading worst case scenario planning. The risk reduction stuff and the recovery stuff, NEMA shouldn't touch it. They need to focus on those things. They only have limited resources, and that's where they need to put their time and effort.
All right. It's interesting when we get to the recommendations, not a lot does radically change in many ways. It's more that these things need to function and the cooperation needs to happen, and certainly bring up that community tier that has community links and formally include them in your system, which means planning exercises and communications and all that kind of stuff.
It does. And training is a big one. You know, the inquiry found people simply didn't have enough training to know what to do. And we're talking, these are, you know, people who work in civil defence or who work at councils and whose role it is to step up during these emergencies. There's just not the breadth or depth of experience there.
It's not very specific, the recommendations. It's more principle-based, isn't it? What's some of the, you know, utilise the value of the wider government ecosystem? I mean, goodness.
Another one.
That means linking up, I guess, with weather forecasting and, yeah, but...
It does. Another one, restore power and telecommunications early and improve electricity resilience. I mean, that's a pretty big job, right?
Was there anything out of those recommendations that you think deserves focusing on, and then we'll talk about the minister's response?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the stuff that we've already touched on around that community tier, around the changes at NEMA. One thing I did want to note was they want to build a nationwide emergency alert system, essentially. So for any natural hazard, this thing is used.
Isn't that what the bunker's for?
Well, I'm not sure. This is what they, you know, this is what
a common alert system that everyone understands.
Exactly, that everyone understands. They know what to expect, and that when that alert system goes off, they know they need to get out, get to higher ground, whatever it is.
Not much mention of funding, really, other than if this stuff doesn't happen and other stuff doesn't happen, we're going to have an unhappy time. Would that sum it up?
Pretty much, yeah. Look, there is mention of funding, but there's no real specifics. There's no price tags anywhere. Its biggest point is that the investment is actually needed in risk reduction and readiness, so that preparedness stuff, that, you know, things like managed retreat, building in the right places, all of that kind of thing, which is sort of slightly, I guess, out of scope of talking to the specific response here, shifting to a preventative model, I guess. But yeah, as I say, nothing has a price tag, so I guess it's up to the minister to size up the job.
What has he said? This just coming off embargo at 9 o'clock. What has the minister, Mark Mitchell, said?
Yeah, so look, he's completely agreed that there are clearly significant gaps. There are shortfalls here that need to be addressed. He says lives and livelihoods are at stake, and you know, I think everyone can agree that he'd be correct in that. Look, in terms of the law, there's actually a draft emergency management bill that's drafted. It's ready to replace the decades-old Act that's currently in place, but the inquiry found that that is insufficient. So Mark Mitchell has said this morning, look, he's going to throw that out and start again. He's going to introduce a new bill this term. He says that he wants to take the time to get this right. There are a raft of different reviews, as you mentioned earlier, into this, into these disasters. And so it's understandable he wants to take the time to get this right, but this stuff is urgent. We don't have much time, so we'll hope to speak to him a bit later and get a bit more clarity about what he can do when.
You've spent much of the last year in Hawke's Bay, one of the areas so severely affected, and we mentioned 15 dead earlier. We should say there's a person missing as well. So the toll here is 16 from these events around the country early last year. You spent much of the year in Hawke's Bay. How will this report sit with people you've been talking to over that time?
Look, when the last report came out, the Hawke's Bay one, there's sort of, an air of, oh, yep, here we go, another report. And I would say this will be much the same. Honestly, I don't think those who were directly affected by these disasters are going to be surprised with anything that's in this report. You know, they're the very ones who lost family members, who lost their homes, who lost their businesses, and who have said from day one they felt let down. So this will be nothing new. Look, I think they'll be hopeful that this results in real change and that it doesn't get kicked around the corridors of the beehive for too long and that something comes of it, because as you said, you know, people die. This is serious, serious stuff, and we simply can't afford to wait to get this right.
Very good. Thanks for that, Lauren. Lauren Crimp is RNZ's journalist on this story.